Amen. God bless you today. Amen. Let's pray together. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, how we love calling your name. Come again, Lord, and would ask but one question, and that is there a word from the Lord? Would be so kind as to speak to us? Again, Lord, if you would open our eyes and our ears, make our hearts ready, make them like fertile ground. And God, when you speak to us, help us to hear you. Help us to hear what you are saying to the church. Take away the distractions and take away from us the undisciplined mind, that we would know and become what we by design have been made to be. Use us, all of us, so we won't be unequally yoked together. Use us, all of us, that we can come up as one people. God, talk to us. We need to hear from you. And forgive us of our sins. Have mercy on us. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, use me now in this responsibility that is mine, one I enjoy so much, that I might help this people. Oh God, use me, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Your words, your thoughts, your desires, mine are of no significance in this moment. It's all about you. Come, Lord Jesus, and have your way. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Come on and bless God together. Come on, bless him together. Everybody, give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. 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 Amen, amen. Grab your Bibles in the book of Titus. Right after the book of 2 Timothy, just before you get to the Hebrew writer, New Testament of the Bible, fire up those smartphones and tablets and other devices, and let's get ready to go that we might learn together. Yeah. Amen. Chapter 1, you start thumbing through your pages, ease up on it when you get to 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and you'll run right into Titus. If you pass it, you'll be in somebody else's backyard. Amen. Titus, if you have your devices, you can get there quick. Got an old-fashioned Bible like some of us. Got to turn them pages. Amen. Amen. When I was growing up in the church, pastor, you'd say, I love to hear them pages turning, children's. And we were on our way somewhere. Amen. Some folk would turn pages all day. They never did find it. Preacher done preached 25 minutes. They said, don't help me. I'm going to find it. Amen. Time the preacher get to the car. They go, I got it, Rev. And he said, I'll see you next week. Amen. Titus chapter 1. Just a couple of verses. And this is a follow-up from last week when we talked about learning wrong and living wrong. We're going to learn right and live right today. Amen. Yeah. Chapter 1, this letter is from Paul, a slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I have been sent to bring faith to those God has chosen and to teach them to know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives. This truth gives them the confidence of eternal life, which God promised them before the world began, and he cannot lie. And now at the right time, he has revealed this good news, and we announce it to everyone. It is by the command of God, our Savior, that I have been trusted to do this work for him. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you so very much. God bless you, ushers. Thank you. You all have been so kind. You look so nice today in their red and black and all sharp and stuff. Amen. Amen. Again, I want to talk for a little while here with the thought in mind for us that right learning will lead to right living. Again, last week we left off in a conversation and didn't get to finish all of it, but I think we talked enough to understand that how you learn affects how you live. And most of us, we'd be honest with ourselves, on this Sunday we would admit that we've got some more learning to do because we got some more living we want to do. Most of us, we're honest enough to admit we're really trying to live better. We're trying to make better sense of things. We're trying to make better use of resources. We're trying to go a little further. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to open up this book. The world could really care less about most of us. To be honest with you, there is a fact that I think you ought to know, that nobody's going to ever love you like the Lord. Nobody's going to ever care for you like the Lord. Well, I thought I'd get more amens than that. I mean that. I'm not trying to start in trouble with anybody's marriage, anybody's boo, or anything like that, but nobody's going to ever love you like the Lord. And nobody's going to ever care for you like the Lord. He's your provider. The Bible tells us that anything that we could ask, think, or imagine, it's in the hand of God. And so Paul says something here that I really think we ought to pay attention to. He said that I'm on an assignment. And the particulars of my assignment are that the people that I'm assigned to would know God better. Well, so that they could learn how to live, but they got to learn how to do it by faith. Okay. You got to trust God. Okay, I thought I'd get more amens than that. You have to trust God. Okay, I thought I'd get, I'll try one more time. You have to trust God to live a godly life. Amen. And so he comes along and says to them that I have been chosen. And I've been chosen to teach them. Nudge your neighbor and say that's probably us. I've been chosen to teach the people of God. Watch this now. Those the Lord has chosen. See, you don't ever have to worry about not being chosen. Some of you all have navigated and wiggled and bucked and tried to get picked by somebody or some organization or tried to get recognized to be in this or be in that, and you got disappointed because you didn't make the cut, but you missed the most celebratory thing in your life, that you have been chosen by God. Amen. Okay, see, I'm going to stop writing. You'll get some amens on my sermon. I really thought I'd get some amens right there. You've been chosen by God. Yep. If don't nobody else want you, you have already been chosen by God. If don't nobody else want you, if they don't let you in their fraternity, their sorority, their secret handshake club, you don't know to knock on the door, don't worry about that. You just drive by there and go, I've been chosen by God.
Me and God got it going on. And because he chose me, he cares for me. Amen. He puts his arms around me every morning and loves on me like nobody else. Your husband, your wife, your spouse, your sport, your boo, they might forget to give you that morning kiss and that morning hug, and you might feel some kind of way about it, you know, but don't worry about it, because God will never forget to hug you and kiss you and love on you. That's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. And so Paul says, I got a good job. He said, I've been chosen by God to go and talk to them that he already chose. That puts us together on one accord. Amen. Everybody in this room needs to learn how to live right. Amen. Back down south where I grew up, it didn't take much of a misstep for some of them old sisters to say, look here, you better get yourself together. Better get your business straight. And then on the other side, every now and then they tell you, you ain't old enough to have no business. What a confusing life. Amen. And so it is that Paul comes along and he talks to the people. And then he says this. He says that I'm obligated by God. I'm getting there. I'm obligated by God to show them. Demonstration brings about dedication. Let me tell you why that's important, and I'll hurry. Every one of you in here are under observation. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. And when you open your big mouth and told them folk you were a Christian, they really start watching you. You told them you go to church every Sunday. You didn't mean that, but you told them that. You told them you go to Bible study and you teach a Sunday school class, and you told them you were a minister and a deacon and all. They start watching you. They wanted to see what was different about your life and the rest of them life. They want to see how a deacon walks and how a minister conducts their affairs. They want to see how you treat people and what comes out of your mouth. And you can't tell folk, don't be watching me. Because the God that you serve said that you are light unto the world, and nobody takes a light. Y'all ain't talking to me. When you signed up for the Christian Jubilee and put your name on the roll, people had every right to watch you. You sitting around here now because you know you got too much low living. You telling folk, don't worry about you. You ought to be worried about you. You promised him that I would serve him till I die. People have a right of expectation from the Christian community. They want to see how we love each other. They want to see how we feed each other. They want to see how we come to each other's aid and assistance. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. And you can't live your life in the shadows and hiding out places and call yourself a servant of God. The world needs to see our gospel. Y'all ain't saying that. He said, I got to show them. You can't tell me how to live better than you can show me how to live. Well, back when I grew up, grown folk would throw this clause out there. Do as I say, not as I do. What kind of madness is that? Well, and even I do what you do, you whoop me. Right. Amen. Look at them and say, mm-hmm. That's not Christian ethic. He said, I got to show them. He said, that's my responsibility. And all of us share that responsibility to show people how to live right. You can't conduct a marriage seminar and a marriage workshop because you're a minister or a deacon and don't treat your wife right or your husband right. You can't run the youth ministry and your children running all over the church. Amen. You can't be over finance and you don't tithe. Well, you can't be a worship leader and come worship sometime. You can't be the preacher and don't practice what you preach. Well, people expect you to live your life in a godly manner. Yeah. Y'all might have quiet. Yeah. Some of y'all sitting there going, that's why I ain't no teacher. That's why I ain't no. No, don't. You can't bail out like that. All of us are the elect and chosen of God. And all of us ought to be mindful of how we demonstrate life in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm supposed to show them how to live godly lives. Look on us, Peter and John. Everybody knows that, I suppose. And you can't say look on us and then try to change by excuses what people see. So he said, I got to show them. Then he comes along and then he says that he's got to give them truth that builds confidence. In the mid-70s, maybe late 60s, somewhere around there, there's a gentleman, and I call his name, probably most of you won't even know his name, but anybody know Mr. Arthur Fletcher? No, nobody knows Arthur Fletcher. But let me tell you what Arthur Fletcher said, and I bet you know what he said. And I'm going to make a point right there. Arthur Fletcher was the president of the United Negro College Fund. And they came to Ms. Fletcher and the crew and they said, listen, we need a slogan. We need something that's going to attract people to help us in this fund. And Arthur Fletcher is the gentleman who came up with a mind. You know what Mr. Fletcher said, but you don't know Mr. Fletcher. Oh, some of y'all getting it already. You never met Arthur Fletcher, but you know what he said. Right. And what he said has made an impact on every life who hears what he's. You may not have met him, but you know what he said. And what he said became what he lived. And I'm telling you now that everybody in this room need to watch your mouth, because people may not know your name, but they know what you say. And what you say will outlive you by 100 years.
Come on now.
Some of y'all talk crazy and call yourself Christians. You stand up in front of people and say stuff and do stuff and call yourself a Christian. You ain't living right. You ain't living right. And how you live ought to match what you say, and what you say ought to be how you live.
Well,
amen. Amen. Right living. Everybody ought to do it. Some of y'all look at the preacher, and that's all right. I don't mind. When you're good looking, it's going to happen. And then I can do about it. I just try to, you know. When you got it, you got it. It's everybody ain't got it. But you look at me and I know you look at me and you listen to me and you look at my family and you look at my children and you look at our ministry, and that's fine. That's fine. But this ain't just me. This us. And you be careful about throwing rocks and hiding your hands at us. Because if all God required was for the pastor to be right, then only pastors gonna end up in heaven. But all of us got to learn how to live right. Whatever you expect from me, you ought to expect from yourself. Whatever you desire in me, you ought to desire in yourself. Because all of us have a responsibility to God to walk worthy of the calling on our lives. Let me tell you, some of y'all, I hear you. Some of y'all say, I ain't got no calling. Yes, you do. Everybody who breathing got a calling. You don't live right. And the thing is, being learned is an asset to all of us. The smarter we are, the better off all of us going to be. The more biblical content that we can display and demonstrate the better off we going to be. Let me see if I can run a quick survey. Anybody in here want Greater Brookville to be a Greater Brookville? That hand you just raised is a volunteer's hand. You just identified the fact that you need to do better. Because if all of us were doing as well as we ought to be, we'd be a better church already. Y'all ain't talking to me. Lean in closer. Everybody in here has to work on right living, but you got to start with right learning. How many of you, let me see, I'm about finished. I know you don't believe it. How many of you, when you fill out your job application, that they have a line on there that says, are you a Christian? They don't care. They'll hire anybody. They don't care. You can work any way you want to work, and you don't have to be a Christian. But since you say you won, then it ought to be demonstrated in how you work in this ministry. It ought to be demonstrated in how you come and how you go and what you do when you're here and what you do when you're not. Y'all ain't talking to me. Everybody in here has been called by the same God. There's one Lord, there's one faith, and there's one baptism. Nudge your neighbor and tell them we all in this thing together. And sooner we start living right, the better off we gonna all be. So Paul says, I need them to understand that being unlearned is a detriment to everybody. People who don't know God don't know how to live like God. People who don't know the language don't know how to talk the language. Bible says that we ought to engage one another in psalms and hymns and spirit. How many of you have had a poor conversation from somebody that's a Christian? And you said to yourself, well, wait a minute now. Nudge your neighbor and tell him you don't drive a cab. Some of y'all know where I'm going to go with that. Because, see, you know, a cab, when he pushed the meter down and say off duty, he ain't got to worry about it. He don't have to let you in his cab. But if that meter on and that light on and it say on duty, if you go, he better stop or they'll pull his license. Some of y'all act like y'all cab drivers. My meter off. I ain't on the clock. You breathing. You eating God food. You wearing God clothes. Ain't no off duty. I ain't the pastor. You ain't got to be the pastor. I'm the pastor and don't want to be the pastor. Wait a minute, that came out wrong. Okay. Well, yeah, you get the minute. You have a responsibility as the learned to live like you know something. Everybody sitting around off duty. Bible says if the strong man had known the hour, some of us act like we don't even care about the hour. We look around the church and see things happening. Church falling apart, stuff, people going and disappearing, and we act like we ain't got nothing to do with that. This is our assignment. It's a poor frog that won't praise his own pond. This is our assignment. And Paul says we're going to have to learn how to build up our confidence so we can operate in our assignment based on the truth of God. Mm-hmm. Most of us don't know enough truth. We limited in learning, so now we're going to be limited in our living. But yet we want God to overrule the limits of our learning and give us unlimited living. If you don't know, you can't grow. Amen. Paul said, when I was a child, I could get away with being childish. Am I right about it? He said, but I matured, and then I had to live up to the high standards that come with maturity. All right, let's look at the church. We got a nursery. It's a small room with small furniture. The chairs are real small down there because we expect small people to be in the nursery. It's designed for them. It's got small furniture. It's got small tables, small chairs. It's even got little mats in case one or two of them get sleepy. But everybody ain't supposed to be in the nursery. We got big school in the church. Christian Academy, Bible Academy. It's got big furniture. Got big chairs and got big books with big words in it. So big people can enjoy big school. Amen. And the problem is some of the big people act like they want to go sit in them little chairs. Some of the big people can't read the big words, so they want to color and fill in the blank and all that kind of stuff. You're too big to be in the nursery. You're not a child anymore. It's time for the exhibition of spiritual maturity among mature folks. Paul said, when I talk to mature folk, I expect mature dialogue. Y'all ain't talking to me. Spiritual things require discernment in order that we can try the spirits by the spirits. We can't try nothing because we ain't got nothing to try it with. Amen. Look how quiet y'all is. He said, listen, I had to come so they would know what was promised to them. All right. He said, I got to do that because it's a significant statement that he makes, Scott. He says, I was sent to do it. He didn't say, I just woke up one morning and said, I want to pastor Brookville. Oh, excuse me. He said, I was sent to do it. Y'all ain't talking to me. Everybody in this room that feels that you are under an obligation to God, please raise your hand. Thank you. Everybody's hand should have went up. Everybody in this room must understand that you are under obligation to God. You cannot serve God as a third or second option after you get off from your job or after you get your career straight. You know, you get everything settled in your life. You're going to come back to the Lord. Let me tell you how you fix that. Put God first and he'll make everything else fall in order. The only reason some of y'all got them six-figure jobs is because you got a six-figure God. The only reason you live where you live is because God built it. The only reason y'all ain't talking to me. The only reason you drive what you drive is because God gave it to you. And if you got his stuff, you ought to keep him first. Amen. Amen. Obligation requires your full attention to detail. What must we do? That's what you ought to ask yourself. What must we do? Since God saved me, since I'm not dead yet. Anybody ever woke up one morning and surprised yourself? Some of us that had done some of that hard living, you woke up and went, well now. Yeah, do inventory. Make sure all your fingers were still there. And you might not be able to find one of your shoes, but that's all right. I got my feet. Anybody ever woke up and just surprised yourself? Mm-hmm. It's more than five of us. Amen. Some of y'all just done forgot. But let me tell you something. You still alive. God trying to tell you something. God didn't let you die in your foolishness. You still alive. You have an obligation to praise him for just being alive. You ought to thank him that you're still breathing. You ought to thank him that he didn't kill you, didn't let the enemy kill you. And because you're alive, you ought to say, God, what can I do to show my gratefulness that I'm still alive? You don't have to do anything else. In fact, part of the reason I've been living so crazy, you've done too much. So God, now that I'm alive, again. You remember that song we sang in church? When I rose this morning, I didn't have no doubt. I knew the Lord would bring me out. You ought to sing that every day. Paul said, listen, you all have been blessed. And I got to tell you how to live right now. Since God has saved you, I want to help you live right. Amen. Let me hurry and finish here. You and I got to stop fooling ourselves and thinking that right living is because we decorate the church, because we got a little choir, you know, because we, you know, we got carpet on our floor that make us good Christians and God is happy with us. Anybody can decorate the church. Anybody can sing. It don't matter. You know, all you got to do is tell them the name of the song. Some people can sing it better than y'all can sing it. And they don't love the Lord at all. All they know is that it's a song. Oh, yeah, I like to sing. I'll sing that for you. We have got to stop trying to good church ourselves and learn how to God church ourselves. Oh, we're a good church. No, we're not. Until we right living as a result of right learning, good church ain't going to get us into heaven. Only the God church going to heaven. There's a lot of good churches. Amen. There's a lot of good places to get a steak. A lot of good places to get a suit. But in this ministry, in this house, it's the God stuff that makes the difference. Y'all ain't saying nothing. He said, please understand, let's learn how to live God. Watch what he tells the church in Rome. And I'm about there now. He said this. He said, listen. You are in Romans 2. He said, you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind and a light for people who are lost in darkness. You think you can instruct the ignorant and teach children the ways of God. For you are certain that God's law gives you complete knowledge and truth. Well then, if you teach others, why don't you teach yourself? That's what he told the church. He said, y'all think y'all a good church because y'all can do a little something. He said, then if you're such a good church, why aren't you good? Y'all matter quiet. Unless all of us are a good church, we're not a good church. Here's what the Bible said. The Bible said a little leaven can affect what? The whole loaf. If we got, y'all don't know enough Bible. Let's try this one. One bad apple. Now, see, you're going to say, don't spoil. No, leave it in there long enough. Anything rotten going to make other stuff rotten. If we got one undeveloped disciple in this ministry, we got 100. Why? Because the Bible says the house divided. And division ain't always 50-50. See, some of y'all think we're half. No, it ain't half and half. It don't take but 2% to ruin something. 1% can ruin something. And everybody in the church sitting around talking about being good Christian, and some of y'all don't even come to Bible study. Some of y'all don't even bring a Bible to church. Some of y'all don't come to church but every other Sunday. Y'all getting quiet? Hello? Right living. You have people in this ministry that are lost in the house. You wonder why we can't get folk outside to come in? Because the folk in are lost. Amen. But we can fix that. Don't take much. Can I give you three things and I'll leave you alone? Let me tell you how to fix that. Nudge David said, say amen so he can hurry up. Dallas don't play till 8 tonight. What have I to do? First thing, here it is. If you want to live right, here's first thing. And it's right in the book. Don't deviate from discipleship development. That's first thing, easy. Don't deviate. Don't listen, what are you saying, Pastor? Look what he said. He said, I have been entrusted to do the work. You know what he's saying on the other side of that? You know, every biblical principle has a side A and a side B. You know what he's saying? Don't ask me to deviate. Don't ask me not to ask you to come to Bible study. Don't ask me not to ask. No, y'all ain't talking to me. Don't deviate. Don't ask me not to teach you how to tithe. Don't ask me not to hold you responsible for how you treat people. Don't ask me to do that. Don't ask me to deviate from my assignment. You're not going to deviate from yours. Y'all ain't talking to me. The church must take anybody who comes. We don't have no choice in that. But the Bible that we opened up when you got here said that when you do come, we got to work on you. Let me see if I can make that easy for you. How many of y'all have been to your doctor's office recently? When you walked in the doctor's office, did you just sit there? You sit there looking around? You sit there reading through the magazines, texting people? They call your name, didn't they? And when they call your name, did you just wave them off? When they call your name, did you act like you didn't want to be bothered? Y'all ain't talking to me. Because see, some of y'all come and sit up in here, and when I call your name, you just wave me off. When I say something that addresses your condition, you act like you ain't got nothing to do with that. You act like you didn't come here to get what I'm giving you. You don't go to the doctor's office and just sit there like a bump on the log. Then why do you come in God's house and sit here like you ain't got nothing to do with this? Oh, look at him. Look at him rolling their eyes at old Leroy. You mean to tell me you sick, broken, dysfunctional, and you drove all the way over here to sit here with an attitude rather than making an application so that your case can be touched by the anointing? I'm going to get mine. Everywhere I go to get mine. Amen. Yesterday, me and my grandson went to the barbershop, and he said, "Granddaddy, let's go to chicken filet." That's what he called it. I let him get it. I said, "All right, buddy." So we come around the bypass right there and got there. Traffic was backed up going down toward Ward's Road. Man, it was backed all the way up on 29. I said, "No, we're going to fix this." So we didn't go that. We went around. Came up Ward's Ferry Road, snuck up there by Badcock Furniture, got there to the light. It was an accident, and traffic was stuck there. We just sitting there. He said, "Granddaddy, that chicken filet right there." I said, "Yeah, man, we can't move the traffic." He said, "Go another way." So I said, "All right." So then I turned right, went all the way down to where the Kohl's, made a U-turn, came back. That now they stuck on that side. He said, "Granddaddy, what we going to do?" I said, "Man, we got to wait it out." Why? We wanted Chick-fil-A. I wasn't going to change my mind because of obstacles, and y'all ain't getting it. I knew what I wanted. I just had to get there so I can get it. I knew they had it. All I had, y'all ain't talking to me. When you come into his house, let me tell you, we got it if you want it. And if you come to get it, I'll give it to you. But you cannot deviate. You didn't come here knowing everything about being a Christian. You can't deviate from. He said, "Listen, I've been entrusted to do the work." Two things have to happen. One, you have to make your declaration based on your desire. What are you saying? Proclaim your faith, yes. But you have to offer that we produce in you faith. Pastor, I ain't got it, but I need to get it. We sit in church right now, act like we don't need nothing. Preacher up there preaching, trying to help y'all, and some of us sitting here, you know, we done checked out. All we want to know is what time we gonna check out. But you need this. You sitting there right now. This is your golden moment. You are on the verge of an epiphany. And you're gonna sit here and go, "That's why I don't come every Sunday." You should come every Sunday. Bet you won't go to your job Monday and tell them that's why I don't come every Monday. I bet you won't do that. And then you have to understand, you also need to understand what Paul talks about is that we would model through demonstration. Look on us. How do people see you living? Do your co-workers know you're a Christian? Some of y'all, I need that. Does your wife know you're a Christian? Or your husband? Or do they suspect that you're a fraud? You model through demonstration. People need to see the God in you. The word of God is a seed that will bring forth fruit. Why? Because with salvation, there's always fruit. Mm-hmm. Y'all real quiet. Make no mistake about it, beloved of God. If you ain't producing, you a fraud. How you know? Because the Lord said, my word will not return unto me void. It will do what I sent it out to do. And you ain't no different than anybody else. If the word of God is in your life with any relevance, any reality, and based on relationship, there ought to be some reproductive works happening. Okay, y'all quiet. Second thing you have to understand, and I'll move right along. If your life don't produce, you're a fraud. I'll tell you that right now. And you sit here, look at me like some of y'all looking at me. I got you. I'm preaching to the right people this time. Because there is no way it won't work with you. It works with everybody else. Why? Because they worked it. Remember that sermon, Sandra? It'll work if you work it. Yeah, it will. If you get in this book going to get in you. Here's what the writer said. I have hidden the word in my heart. It's in me. And if it's in you, it's going to come out. Am I right about it? All right. Don't deviate. Then the second thing, and I like this, and we're done. We're done. He says that there has to be a vibrant offense and defense of the gospel. In other words, not just I defend the gospel, but all of us. We got to stand on the absolute truths of God whenever it comes under attack. Everybody ought to fight for what they believe. Amen. Remember that old cigarette commercial from Tarkington? I'd rather fight than switch. Old people had a black eye. They're fighting for their cigarette. They believe in it. And I believe that in the body of Christ, what he says is what? You got to encourage folk to wholesome living. And then you got to oppose them that are wrong. It's right there in verse 9. We get a chance to read over that. He said you have to oppose people when they're wrong. You can't let people talk down your God and you don't say nothing. You got to defend what you believe. And here's why. Because if you don't defend what you believe, folk tend to think you don't believe what you say you do. He said it got to be. You got to oppose people when they're wrong. I don't see why we got to do that. You're wrong. I don't see why we got to have. You're wrong. I don't see why I got to say. Yeah, you're wrong. Amen. You have to defend the gospel. Amen. How many of y'all have played tug of war? What's the object of tug of war? Everybody pull the same way. If you on the right side and everybody pull, you pull. If you're on that side, everybody got to pull. What happens if people on your side stop pulling? You get pulled to the other side. This is what Paul told Timothy. He said, be careful. When people ain't pulling the same way you pulling, they'll start going after all kinds of wives' tales, all kinds of bad doctrine, and be pulled to the other side. A good tug of war team knows that you got to have a solid anchor. You got to have that person. Real trick to tug of war. If you ever want to win tug of war, here's the trick. Put all of the real strong people at the back and tell them just sit down. See all that, all that leg. Just squat and just sit on down. Hold up. And when they start pulling you up, they're actually pulling you into your strength. When they start pulling you up, they're actually pulling you into your strength. So when you first get them, just get the big guys on the back now, and just sit down. We got and the other people on the front. You just kind of hold steady, and when they really get it going, they're gonna pull you right into your strength. And when they get you on your feet, you do your best work on y'all. Ain't talking to me. You gotta defend it. Some of y'all let people say stuff about your church, your pastor, your ministry, and you go, well, you know that. That's how it is. You weak. Got to be a vibrant defense. Then the last thing is, you got to counter any corruption that denies efforts of consecration. You got to be holy. You got to counter that. Anytime people are coming in trying to tell you don't have to be all that, and you don't have to do all that. You counter that. That's corruption. You ought to be holy because he's holy. See how quiet y'all got? You see how quiet y'all? You ought to be excited about consecrated life. Consecrated life don't mean you got to wear dark clothes and you can't laugh and you can't go nowhere. If you got a good consecrated life, you enjoy that stuff even more. You don't think there's a good little joy in heaven? Here's what the Bible said. The joy of the Lord is what gives me my strength. Y'all ain't talking to me. You got to realize, beloved God, that there are a lot of people who claim to know God but don't live like God. You got to live holy. Holiness don't say you can't enjoy yourself. He said, here's why. Because their conscience have been corrupted. People have been poisoning their mind. How many of y'all have been told by somebody, you don't have to go to church every Sunday to be a Christian. Or you don't have to be in the church to be a Christian. You don't have to do this, be saved. That's a lie. And people walk around here now, believe that. You can be a Christian and don't go to church. No, you can't. That's like saying you can be a husband and not have a wife. Just because she lived with you. You remember what Jesus told that woman? She said, I have a husband. He said, no, you don't. Because you live with him don't make him your husband. Y'all ain't talking to me. I'm all in some of y'all business right now. Ain't I? Notice I'm just looking at Deacon Davis. I ain't trying to say that. You can't have what don't have you. Either he got you or he don't. And you got to fight everything that tells you that you can live such a way. And he said, no, you can't. Here's what the Bible says. You got to fight detestable and disobedient, worthless acts that present themselves as spiritual. He said, no, we don't do that. And everybody in this room ought to know by now how to live right. Amen. I'm done. Here it is. He tells them, he said, listen, because I have this assignment, because I'm on this promised work for God, I can't deviate from this. And I have to make sure, watch this now, because the gospel has cleansed us from everything that can defile our body and our spirit. It's in the Corinthian letter. He said, that's what the gospel has done. And I don't know about you, but I want to have a clean life. Everything that had defiled, some of us have been defiled by a whole lot of stuff. Some of us have lived discreditable lives. Some of us have done detestable things. But aren't you glad that Jesus looked beyond your faults and met your every day? Aren't you glad that he woke you up this morning and started you on your way? He said, this is what I know of the gospel. It has cleansed me from everything that can defile my body and corrupt my spirit. And I need to ask you right now, won't he make you clean? Won't God make you clean inside? Won't God stir you up? Won't God lift you up? Won't God deliver you from the noisome pestilence? Won't God snatch you from the jaws of the enemy? Won't God deliver you? Nobody else can deliver you, and you ought to thank God for right living. You ought to thank him. Because he has given you, David said, creating me a clean heart and renew. Look at your name and said, renew is a good thing. Yeah. Renewing me, creating me. Why? Because it ain't there. It ain't there. You weren't born with a clean heart. Somebody got to teach me. And then he said this. He said, let's work toward, watch this, Deacon Walker, complete holiness. Why? Because we fear God. I wish I had another 2 minutes because I really want to get into that. But that's part of the problem. A whole lot of us don't fear God. I've been watching you all for the last 43 minutes, and some of y'all have been, you know, wandering off and rolling your eyes, and you don't cotton to this message today. You thought I was going to do a Christmas thing and talk about what's coming under your tree and all that. I can tell you what's coming under your tree. But we don't fear God. I wouldn't go nowhere without the fear of God. I wouldn't do anything without fearing God. I don't want to take that chance. He said, we're going to have to do something about this. And part of what we must do is make sure that we are training God's people. Everybody in this room, if you've ever worked anywhere important, what's the first thing they did with you when they hired you? They trained you. You walked in there all handsome, all cute, pretty, had your little smock on and all that kind of stuff. They didn't let you get behind their machine. They didn't let you go in there and start messing with stuff. You know, some of y'all, you fill out the resume, you put down your experience levels and all that kind of stuff, and they read that and they said, that's fine, okay, good. And they still told you, upon hiring, you will be required to go to training for X amount of days. And some of y'all got smart enough, you said, I've been doing this all my life. Not here you haven't. And if you were so good at it where you were, why'd you leave? What are you doing over here now? Well, you want to make yourself better. Oh, well, then to get better, you want to do it our way. And we come into church, walk down the aisle on a given Sunday, shake the man's hand, shake the woman of God's hand, whatever we do, and don't come to training. And they say, well, you got to do new disciple class for 6 weeks. What's 6 weeks out of your life? I ain't joined for all that. You know what amazes me when people come into the church? We spend the majority of our energy on doing the all that's. I ain't want to give all that. I ain't want to hear all that. Y'all ain't talking to me. I don't need all that. Well, what do you need? He said, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to train them so they can live right. Again, we're closing out end of the year. Some of us, I see y'all every so often, not often enough. But again, if you want to live better, you know, we're going to do that little watch night thing. Show his bone. We're going to talk about next year. And this is, you know, okay, fine. But before we do that, before we lie about that again, how about we make a decision to become committed to learning the consecrated life? How about we make a decision to connect with Christ and disconnect from the confusion? How about we make a decision to walk worthy rather than walk away? How about that? And then we will begin to see the fruits of the relationship. That's all we're asking. If you want to live right, you got to learn right. And if you keep living wrong, it's because you keep learning wrong. And if you keep learning wrong, you're going to keep living wrong. You cannot live the fullness of Christ on a part-time schedule. Can't do it. It hadn't worked for anybody else, and it ain't gonna work for you. If you think you figured out what nobody else has figured out, you still ain't got it figured out. Nobody is gonna do it other than the way he said to do it. And I know what's gonna happen. Some of you gonna get ready to go out them doors in just a few minutes, and you're gonna go down them stairs, and you're gonna say to yourself, I don't care what he said. I ain't got to come to Brookville. You don't. I don't either. But it's a choice I make. And since I choose to be in the Lord's house at 1916, I think I'm going to do what he say do at 1916. Some of us, watch. You mark, look around, take a picture with your smartphone. Just the faces you see today, some of them you won't see no more because we don't want to do right. We want God to do all. It's almost Christmas. We want God to slide down the chimney, come through the back door, anything. He can be back door Santa, front door Santa. All we want to do is get what we want and then go about his business. And you keep playing that game if you want to. I ain't in that. You watch. We're going to be walking through the store saying, Lord, which card do I use? We're going to be counting our monies and, oh, God, thank you. The Lord sure bless us this Christmas. And you don't want to learn how to live right. You mark my word. Nobody's going to turn down anything this Christmas. Oh, you're going to be quoting scripture. Oh, every good and perfect gift coming down from the Lord who loves us. But you don't love him.
not treating him. Y'all getting quiet? Mm-hmm. You watch. Take a picture. Make note. Count the envelopes today and then count them next week. Go down the list and see who name don't be here next week. Matter of fact, we ought to start calling the roll. You don't want to live right? Here's what the Bible says. There's a way that seemeth right. Some of y'all on a good seem path. It's going to fall out from under you. Only way you're going to live right is to learn right. Amen? Let's stand on our feet. We're going on. Yeah. You quiet. That's good. We'll leave quiet. What that little song said, there's no joy in Mudville. Let me tell you something while you're getting on your feet. You don't come to church just to jump up and down. That's part of what's wrong with us. And I made an intention. I said these next few weeks, I'm intentionally not going to do a whole lot of celebrating preaching. I'm going to do some hardcore preaching. Because that's got some of us spoiled. All we waiting on is for a pastor to pull the mic out. I ain't pulling the mic out. I'm going to stay right here, flat-footed in the gospel. Yeah, ain't nobody clapping. Everybody, one or two of y'all that wanted to said, no, I don't know, maybe it's not appropriate. Sorry about that. I don't pastor based on a fan club. I pastor based on my assignment. Oh, I can holler like the best of them. Ain't no problem with that. But I ain't going to do it right now. Because we got to open up our ears. And we really need to be thinking. Because a mind, especially a spiritual mind, man, you guys could be so much better. Where's our next deacons coming from? Where's our next preacher going to come from? Where's our next ushers? Musicians. You know what's going to happen to the church if we don't stop this tide of corruption and ill-trained people? You think it's bad in church meetings and church functions now? You get all them worldly and new age thinkers in the church, it ain't going to be God's church no more. They're already taking over the churches. People, they're telling pastors what to preach, how long to preach. They're taking over. And then Pope preachers are afraid of getting put out of the church. So a lot of them are giving in. Not me. No, sir. We don't want our church like that. We don't want this. We don't want that. How does the tail tell the head what to do? If that ain't backwards, how do sheep start ordering around the shepherd? That's crazy. Oh, okay. All right, so here it is. If in fact today you want to live a godly life, you have not previously subscribed to good Christian learning, I need you to make that decision today. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to expose yourself needlessly, but we'll know next week. When we look out here and look at Bible study, and either it's going to increase, decrease, or steady as she goes. We've been talking about it, haven't we, Rev? It's falling apart because folk don't want to do right. But let somebody die, and we got to feed all of your family and roll out the red car. And we really don't mind. We really don't mind. Let somebody want to get married and you want to come in and decorate the church and take over for a wedding so it'd be pretty. And you don't even tithe in the church. And won't even come back there next Sunday to say thank you. Let your kid get ready to go to college and you can find a scholarship committee in a heartbeat. Don't the church do scholarships? Yeah, we do. Those scholarship monies are derived from tithes and offerings. Let's see if we can compare. But if we don't do that, we ain't no good. We scandalous. Come on, Lord. Let's get it right. Let's be faithful. How about that? So everybody standing on the feet right now, getting ready to go, make a decision. Because I'll tell you this, and I'm really done. I'll tell you this. Changing churches is not the answer. Can I tell you what the real answer is? You need to change you. Because if you change churches, you're taking the same you with the same attitudes, same craziness somewhere else. If you really want to make an impact on your life, let's start by changing you. I did it. Works for me. I'm still changing me. I like it. I'm getting there, getting better all the time. But I have to face the reality. When I look in the mirror, I have to say, okay, you ain't there yet. You can do better. You can do better. And so all of us need to make that decision today. That's really what it's all about. Again, we're very thankful to God for our guests today. We're thankful for our disciples that are being healed and restored. Thankful for those who serve. Don't forget rehearsal next week with the young folk. And don't forget leadership conference on Tuesday. Trust God in this. He's going to outlast you. He's going to outlast you. So if you're trying to wait him out, you're not going to win. Might as well do it now. In that old song we used to sing, get right with God and do it now. This may be the last time, I don't know. And so if you want right living, let's do this together. Let's motivate ourselves. Let's not deviate from discipleship development. Let's defend the gospel. When people say things to you that are not sound, stand up. Say, that's not true. I learned it in Bible study. Amen. God, our Father, thank you. The people are standing on their feet. And certainly, God, we're asking you to prick our hearts. Sear our consciences. Make us honest. We could do better. We must do better. And so, Father, it is our prayer, first as the individual and then as the body, that you thoroughly examine us. And then, Lord, bring us to the place that we might be fixed. Correct bad behavior. Change our mind. Cleanse us. As Paul told the church at Colossae, you've got to let the Holy Spirit show you your new life. He told the church at Galatia, you've got to let him lead and control. He told the church at Corinth that old things have to pass away. He told the church at Ephesus, don't you know you're the workmanship of God? He's been telling us. So now, Lord, let us respond and start living right by learning right. In this room, there are many that have not committed their way to gospel learning. And so, God, I pray that you will meet them in discussion today. That they might make the change that is necessary to the fullness of their life. Their sons and daughters' lives are at stake. Their marriage is at stake. Their standing in the community is at stake. Let us not leave this place today not having our minds changed. Whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are wholesome, let's think on those things. But Lord, change us. Before it's too late. Thank you for the healing that is taking place in this house, in our community. Thank you for touching lives. Thank you for keeping us through the watches. Thank you for the forgiveness of every sin and every mercy, for every grace and every kindness, every tender compassion. Oh God, give us this day in the name of Jesus. And let the redeemed of the Lord say together, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. Shake some hands, hug somebody, make them feel a little bit better. Say, Pastor, work this over. You got to make me feel better.